From the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, all listeners from wherever you're tuning in. This is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. We've got an amazing show lined up this morning. First, I have ballerina, actress, impresario, Jacqueline Rafferty. Am I saying that right, Jackie?
You are. Good. Yes.
Also, actress and arts enthusiast, Caitlin Kidwell.
Hello.
I've been friends with her mom since about a decade before she was born, so this goes back a while. And, of course, Renee's sitting in the studio. She's just piercing with daggers in her eyes. We've got Bob Crowley. He's going to give us some historical perspectives.
Good morning, and maybe some art perspectives, too.
But before we go anywhere, I would like to dedicate this show to the one and only Robin Williams. I can't believe he's gone. It just blew my mind when I heard the news this morning. And I'd like to dedicate this next piece entitled The Crown of Thorns to... Sorry, I guess I got ahead of Rocco. I'd like to dedicate I think it's a fifth cut on there, Rocco. A piece from one of my albums. It's entitled The Crown of Thorns, and dedicate this to Robin Williams. Before we continue the show, which, by the way, is being brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater and the Apex Arts Council.
Good morning from WQDR Raleigh. This morning we present something a little bit different for us, an original narrative reading and composing from the poet Claudio, and now The Crown of Thorns.
The morning breaks with frosty glow as a man walks silent by the sea. And in his heart the memories flow of when he died for you and me. So as he walks, he sees a child playing in the sand. And to the infant young and wild, he reaches out his hand. He speaks to him in words of love, and not those of confusion, of where the people far above live not in false illusion. And then he speaks of how it could be here forevermore. Says for this miracle to happen, we must open every door. The young child then, in verge of tears, touches him on the shoulder, and relating to him his many fears, says, I'll get there when I'm older. The man responds, my child, my son, live but in love forever. And I'll prepare for you a place in the land of never, never. Then slowly rising, he leaves the sun to his playing in the sand. And in reflections of the sun come visions of his hand. The visions linger like the nightly stars as the child discerns the healing scars. Then bowing low to morning skies, he kneels into the sand. And first he whispers, then he cries for help to understand. And as lessons after many years, make every child a man. He soon defeats his many fears and strives to understand. Then soon for him, a son is born by strong and loving wife. The birth takes place one frosty morn as the gift of love is life. And as many, many years go by, and seasons bid their change, some will live and some will die for life to rearrange. So the father is buried by the son, one bright and wondrous day. And when the work was all but done, I heard the youngster say. He spoke of people who worshipped kings and other all such foolish things. And one day crying, he spoke to me of his encounter by the sea. And through his tears, I still hear him say, live in love for every day. And should you live yet a thousand morns, remember well the crown of thorns.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Thanks for listening to our station.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM Community Radio. Now back to Claudio.
And now that I've made everybody really sad, I just wanted to dedicate something to Robin Williams this morning. It just absolutely blew my mind that he's gone. I'm sure God's laughing upstairs. So, on that note, let's go to something merrier other than missing Robin Williams. I'm going to start with the youngest in our lot, and that's Caitlin Kidwell. Let me line up the microphone there for you.
Hello.
Hello, Caitlin. I was reflecting on the fact that I've known your mom and dad at least a decade, Renee and Mike Kidwell, before you came into the picture.
A very long time.
It was obvious that she had given birth to an artist, I think, pretty much from the start. So catch me up a little on what's going on. I know you were involved in singing and I don't know about dancing, but in theater pretty early on.
Yeah.
And you've just hit 21.
Almost.
And you're just about to spread your wings. So, yeah. So catch me up a little.
I go to University of Evansville in Indiana, so I'll be a junior there, which is crazy. I don't know how that happened.
Decided to fly away from home.
Yeah. 11-hour drive in 2 days on Thursday.
Woo-hoo.
So that's going to be fun. But it's going to be nice.
When you and I reconnected, it was on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah.
You were working for some theater company. Who was that?
I'm working with this summer. I just ended last Friday with Justice Theater Project. I've done a couple things with them this summer.
I've had some of those folks on the show.
Yeah, they're great people. And I did sound for Grey Gardens early in the summer and then spent the rest of my summer teaching three of their theater camps, teaching art to some kids. Mm-hmm. So it's a good summer.
I like the way she starts. Starts by teaching.
Yeah, so pretty impressive. A really nice experience. I've never taught art before, so it was kind of being thrown to the mix. So that was neat.
Well, tell me about some of the things you've been involved in.
I just studied abroad for 4 months, and I was in a device theater class, and we put on a piece, and that was really nice. It was kind of presented as a work in progress. That's the last thing I did.
Where abroad?
In England. It's in Grantham, like an hour outside of London. So.
Gotcha.
And we lived in this huge manor house, think Harry Potter kind of deal. It was beautiful. And we did a promenade performance around the whole entire, the land, everything. And it was beautiful. It was a really cool experience, kind of. And my character didn't really speak till the end. So it was neat to play with movement there, too. So.
No doubt. Promenade performance. I'm a little unfamiliar with that comment. It sounds wonderful.
It sounds
like you did this movement around the promenade.
Promenade when the audience follows you around.
Uh-huh.
And because we were presenting as a work in progress, we just kind of like, okay, who's going to show up? Let's see what happens.
This is a dress rehearsal, yes. Right.
Kind of deal. And we had like almost 100 people show up from mostly students. And so they were just following us around. And next time we do it, we would have done two. But it was just nice to play around and do things like that.
I can just see what happens to the spirit when things like that happen, when you expect maybe 15 or 20 people and you realize it's a lot more than you bargained for. And you go, oh no, they're taking us seriously.
Yeah, it was crazy. And there was people following you and people watch you in parts where it was kind of like a beeline sort of deal. And you're like, I'm just laying on the floor right now, but you're watching me. Okay, so we're gonna deal with that. So yeah,
performance art. Yes, there we go.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, catch me up on how you wound up. I think it's been more than one theater company that you've done some kind of either reception or what kind of work have you been involved in other than on stage?
Because I did sound. I haven't. In the past couple of summers, I haven't worked with theater, surprisingly, kind of during the year and then getting away.
Well, you can catch me up on any of it. So I
worked at an accounting firm last summer, so for a Neumann Baking Company. So that was interesting, too.
If you ever have to play an accountant, yeah.
Yes. All right. So if I ever have to play an accountant, I know how to do spreadsheets, so we're good. All good. But, I haven't. At school, I've been involved in some directing scenes. I was in Romeo and Juliet freshman year, kind of. Just a little bit here and there, and we're
all the play that nobody escapes. Yes.
Yeah, really though, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But and in my department, you can be involved in so many ways besides acting. Even though I am a performance major, so
wonder if Shakespeare ever realized how imposing he was going to be.
Yeah, really though.
Post mortem.
We're doing Macbeth this year, so I'm excited for that.
The Scottish play, if you will.
Oh. Angels and Ministers of Grace defend us.
Yes, right.
There we go. But. Yeah, I've been doing
any unique moments? I love hearing the perspective from somebody that's young and starting in the arts, because after you've got somebody far more seasoned at her craft.
Unique moments.
Just wondering if anything comes to mind. Anything funny?
Nothing particularly.
Anything mischievous?
Actually, no. Oh.
Playing pranks on each other, like for the closing show. That's usually when everybody plays their tricks.
We don't. We are pretty professional. I think they would punch us or something if we did that.
Claudio, not in front of her mother.
No.
Right, there we go.
We really don't either. We don't. We keep it pretty professional there. Fun, but yeah, professional for sure.
Good.
No pranks.
I'm sorry to hear that. Hopefully you'll grow into that. I want to give a special shout out to Rocco, who just last week celebrated his 500th show. He's been with WCOM since the very beginning. Rocco, how about cueing us in? Bravo, by the way, on that.
Well, thank you very much,
Big congratulations.
Claudio. This past Saturday was the 500th Music Hall show, and as you know, Music Hall is on every Saturday morning, 9 until 12 noon, playing the best in popular American favorites.
I want people to know a little more about you, and I think what they don't know is your own background in the field of hosting and as a DJ. Pretty busy back in the day, back in
the 60s, I worked at a lot of radio stations. What can I say? Radio and television stations, and was in the business and worked in Arizona, worked in New Jersey, worked here in
professionally.
Professionally. Was always at a commercial station, pretty much. And then I got out of the business after I got out of the Army.
Mm-hmm. And you became a high school principal at some point.
At one point, yes. And I spent 40 to 41 years in the public schools in this state.
Wow.
And when I came to WCOM, now over 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago, it was in the planning stages. I never thought that I would be working here this long. And now, Saturday was 500 shows, so the show's been on the air. I've been the producer and host since January 5th, 2004 or 5, mm-hmm. probably 5.
We've moved a few times since then.
We have, and this station is very unique. We have many more listeners than maybe you think we have.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a community station.
Has a bit of a, to use a rather odd word for it, but I think it gives people a clearer understanding, has a bit of a cult following.
It does. And any of you that are guests on Claudio's show, if you're around on a Saturday morning and you see me in here doing the Music Hall show, just knock on that window and I'll let you come on in and you can say hello.
He's on from 9 to 12 every Saturday.
9 to 12 every Saturday morning.
Best music around, too. I just wanted people to know, because I think there might be some folks out there that don't realize your personal background in this and why you're so good at it.
Well, thank you, Claudio. I was in it. When I came to COM, I hadn't been on the air in 38 or 39 years.
Wow.
So there was a 39-year break there.
That's pretty amazing. And the bug was still there, obviously.
Yeah, it's sort of like, some people go fishing. I go on the radio to relax, I guess.
Even in my case, it's amazing to imagine that I've already been doing this for almost 5 years. It almost feels like I just started.
I remember the first time you came on here, Claudio. You sounded so good. I had to come in on the studio. Who is this guy?
I remember that. I had a Curtis Ingram here who owns the American Music Museum in Thomasville, and he's got this bassy voice that makes me bounce off the walls.
Oh, wow.
And
he has an
amazing voice. And he parties with people like Jimmy Buffett, Fleetwood Mac. They come to his house when they're performing anywhere close by.
Claudio, I want to thank you for this also.
My pleasure. I gave him the Essential Johnny Cash collection.
And I will play some of this Saturday, I promise.
Fantastic.
You. Thank you so much, Claudio.
My absolute pleasure. And again, congratulations to Rocco on his 500th show. And on that note, I'm going to bring in our ballerina, actress and impresario, Jacqueline Rafferty.
Hello.
And I understand you and your fiancé have just pulled off a pretty big feat. How about cueing us in on that, and then I'm going to get more into who you are.
Well, first of all, Rocco, congratulations. It's such an honor to be here on your 500th show.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
This is fantastic. Yeah, so we have been just so busy lately. My fiancé and I were both professionals in our field, which is rare for this area. He's a professional athlete. He was the goalkeeper for the Carolina RailHawks for the last 4 years. And I was a professional ballet dancer. I danced with the Alabama Ballet, Greensboro Ballet, and I guest performed with the Carolina Ballet here in town.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes. So we decided to take matters into our own hands as far as training goes, and we have opened up the only U.S.-based dual training facility for both soccer training and dance.
I love that combination. I'm an old soccer player.
Fantastic. What position?
Left or right wing or center forward?
Goalie
as well.
Oh, right. All right. A goalie in the house. Fantastic.
Yes.
Sean should be here.
I once dislocated my jaw saving a goal because the soccer ball hit me so hard that I saved it, but my jaw was popped out. I popped my jaw back in. You talk about something that hurts.
Yeah, spoils of war.
Yes. No mercy on the soccer field.
Yes, you should see Sean's face. It's all beat up.
Oh, God.
But we love him anyway.
Claudio, right. Maybe you ought to sign up for some soccer lessons.
I'm still tempted by the game. I love the game. How was it you connected with Bob Crowley of the Apex Arts Council?
So I am now the vice president of the Terpsichorean Arts Program for the Arts Council, which
Terpsichorean.
Yes.
Explain that, Lucy.
Yes, in layman's terms, that is the dance program.
Ah.
Yeah, we like to be a little fancy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, use proper termage for sure.
I love looking up big words like that.
Yes. So we're very excited to be able to launch this new project for the Arts Council in Apex.
Now, is this location in Apex as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be running all of our rehearsals, auditions, maybe some of our performances here and there out of Apex School of Dance, which is the school that's connected with Sports Arts Academy, which is our facility. So that is where most everything will go down. Then we are still looking for a facility to actually do our performances because we're hoping to blow it out of the water. We're hoping to really have a lot of people come. We want everyone to come watch us dance and act as well.
We may have to pick on Caitlin at some point. Yes.
Absolutely. We love to do mixed media performances for sure. We're hoping to bring in all kinds of genres of the arts. And I think actually I'm going to pass the mic at this point over to Bob to let him explain a little bit about what we're planning on doing.
Don't give him yours. He has his own.
Well, oh, we're going to be doing a lot of things. You asked how we got started. All I remember is this phone call I got in a voicemail from Jackie.
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who she was. She just said, I found you here, and I'm interested in this. How do we get involved in the Arts Council? And as soon as she said she was dance, I was like right over to see her. We met someplace.
Bob, you are forgetting the most important part of the conversation now.
What was that?
When I called, you had that. It didn't come through properly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lying,
so explain
yeah,
what actually happened.
I have a service. If you call the Arts Council phone number, if I don't pick it up, it forwards to my cell phone. But if I don't pick it up, it goes to voicemail. But then what the voicemail does is it makes a recording, converts that to text, and then sends it to me as a text on my cell phone.
Can you have that put to music?
I'd like to. Well, the thing is it doesn't always come through exactly as it should. So I call up looking for Mr. Rafferty. Rafferty.
You see, music could improve that.
Yeah, and it was a very confusing message there. And I think I forwarded it back to you just
yes,
to show you.
Yes, you did. It was, so he asked for Mr. Rafferty, and I was so excited to hear from him that I answered to that.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm the man in the house now.
Gender does not matter in the
arts.
That's
right. No, it doesn't.
That's right. And then we talked, and we decided that one of the best ways to deal with it, put in the Arts Council, was to form, along with the school, the Dance Theater of Apex. Mm-hmm. And we will be putting on various productions. We have an open house coming up, for one. I forget the date of it. That's my fault. But that's coming up in a few weeks. Go to the website.
That's two faults in one conversation.
Yes, dear. But we'll have that, and then we're talking about doing a production in December.
Yes, we are going
to
do the Nutcracker this year, and we are thrilled.
You know you've got competition. In December, everybody does it.
Actually, this is the funny part about this area. Because Carolina Ballet does it, mm-hmm. no one else will touch it.
Oh, really?
And we love Carolina Ballet. I go every year. I go see all of my friends.
I've worked the show before.
Do every role that they do. I have to go see them when they do Sugar Plum or do Snow Queen, whatever it is. I have to go see them, make sure that I pay my dues.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, any of the smaller companies, which we are probably going to be one of the only smaller companies in the area, actually, that's going to be more ballet-based, and definitely none of the schools.
Other houses may be doing different versions.
Possibly, yeah. Yes. A lot of them do some kind of theatrical spectacular.
Yeah, or a Dickens rendition of another kind.
Of course. Yeah. But we want to provide, on a smaller base, on a smaller scale, just the actual Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to have a lot of draw for that. It gives children in the community an opportunity to perform in the Nutcracker, which they won't have unless they get a role in Carolina Ballet's.
What are you going to do about props?
It's
a pretty prop heavy show.
It is. We're going to do the second act only, so that will eliminate some of that. We're just going to do the Land of the Sweets, just to kind of get our toes wet and see how it feels this year. But our friend Katie Moorhead from Paper Hand Puppets here in Carrboro is going to help us do the production side of it. So she'll be building sets and helping with costumes. You know, we have Mother Ginger, which is always a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Putting 15 children under a skirt is always interesting.
I was one of the carriers for that with the Carolina Ballet.
Fantastic. Yes. Yeah, so we'll be looking for a male actor. A lot of people don't know this, but actually, usually it's a male actor in drag, so to speak.
True.
That actually
because has to
is
be strong.
Mother Ginger.
Yeah.
Yes, they have to be pretty strong, usually on stilts or wheeled out on
That's
some kind of carriage.
It, yeah.
Sounds like Sean to me.
It does. Yes, I think it's going to be Sean.
Just tell him to leave the soccer ball at home.
Yes, he's going to wear his knickers and his
good
fake eyelashes.
Keep your knickers on.
It's going to be fantastic.
Fantastic.
So
that sounds
we're
good.
Really
so,
looking forward to
so that this is already this is the plan.
Yes, it is the plan. Auditions are September 13th, and they will be held at Apex School of Dance.
Is there a website or some way they can contact you? Otherwise, people listening, and we'll do this again as we wrap the show.
They can contact us through the Apex Arts Council, which is
www.apexartscouncil.org.
There we go.
Or they can contact me directly at apexschoolofdance.com, as well.
All right. Will
work.
And just to remind you, folks. You are listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I have in the studio the person you've been listening to is ballerina, actress, impresario, Jacqueline Rafferty. I also have actress and arts enthusiast, Caitlin Kidwell, in the studio, her mother, Renee.
Who we still have to hear from.
Yes, right. She's the silent one in the corner. And, of course, we've got Rocco at the helm. And Bob Crowley is going to give us some historical perspectives as we go on through this. But I just wanted to make sure I rang that bell. And why don't we go to a little bit of selective jazz or whatever you've brought into play this morning.
At this time.
We'll take a breather and decide what to talk about next.
This is 103.5 FM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM. Also heard online at WCOMFM.org. Thank you so much for making us a part of your morning.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Your voice in our community, this is WCOM, Carborough, Chapel Hill.
Just a reminder, I'm dedicating today's show to the inimitable Robin Williams. There's also a fellow I want to mention. His name is Raymond Burse. He was the president of Kentucky State University, who took a $90,000 pay cut so that 24 of his minimum wage workers could get their living wage improved from $7.25 to $10.25 per hour, a 70% increase. Bob, I think you've got something on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is kind of an incredible thing to do, and something that is a really feel-good story. And this man,
especially when greed seems to be the deal of the day.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 24 loyal workers right now, I guarantee
that. I would think.
But how many people are willing to take a $90,000 pay cut to be able to bring some other people up? That gave him like, a 70% raise or something like that, which is incredible. So, Raymond, you've done good.
Let's hope that this is something that the populace pays forward.
Yeah, well,
maybe some of your other fat cats out there can do the same.
And I'll take a pay cut from what you pay me here.
Am I paying you? Where'd I get the money from?
You pay me in meals, that's all.
That's it.
So that's that.
Cue us in on some of these bad jokes you were going
to
tell.
Oh, that was just one bad joke
I had this morning.
To
enjoy them.
And the story is, what did the Zen Buddhist say when he went into the pizza parlor? Make me one with everything.
It actually works with pizza.
Yeah. I said that in the car, and Claudio insisted I had to do it here. But I also want to remind everybody that today is International Youth Day, as proclaimed by the United Nations, to celebrate the youth of the world, and by all of us who no longer have it, and we're aging along here. But so we should remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on here? I don't know.
One of these days we'll have to do a show of completely ridiculous information.
Yeah, ridiculous information, bad jokes, or I thought we were doing that already. No.
Jerry Springer. Jerry Seinfeld pulled it off.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
Jerry Springer still is.
We can do that stuff. And, of course, the other stuff I know is, if you want me to go into some of the Arts Council stuff, we just had a really tour de force opening performance of the Community Theater of Apex.
That's right. I did want to hear that.
They on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week, they did a production at the brand new, never performed in before, amphitheater at the brand new Apex Nature Park. And they did an original production that they wrote.
Tell us who they is.
They is a fellow by the name of Pepper Jensen. And he's got a soccer connection, too. If you've ever seen the Railhawks, he's the guy in the Railhawks suit.
Yeah, he swoops.
He swoops. That's the one. And he runs the theater company, and he wrote the play. It was called Robin Hood. It was a different take, a musical take on the old Robin Hood legend.
And you said it had some religious overtones.
A little bit, yeah. So that kind of blessed the new amphitheater, and we were very happy with that. And
well received. You had a good turnout too, which is always amazing.
Yeah, we had 100 people or 150 people at each one of the three performances. We had people really praising the way it was written and directed, and really a lot of good words about it. So definitely,
fantastic. So off to a great start.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some other things with them. If you come down to Christmas on Salem Street, which will be the Friday night, December 5th, and that's when Salem Street is open all night, and we close the street, and we have carriage rides and whatever. Well, the theater company is going to show up in Dickens costumes and be wandering around with the crowd. And then in the spring, we are planning to do a dinner theater, comedy murder mystery dinner theater at the New Hope Valley Railway. And I'm rather pleased with that, since I wrote the play.
This will have to be an outdoor thing, I would assume.
This will be an outdoor thing.
Tell us about the play.
The play is called The Case of the Happy Hobo, and it's about this story starts with a hobo body being found. They turn it over, and he's smiling, even though he's dead. And
he's not the killer?
No, he's not the killer. He's the one that's killed, but then we find out he's not really a hobo. He's actually an eccentric millionaire, and he just likes to hang out with hobos on the weekend. And, of course, his wife is there with her tennis instructor and his business partner and his daughter, and everybody's got motives, including the hobos, and we'll see what happens. We're going to play the thing out, and anybody who guesses the real murderer by the end of the show will get a prize, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Was there a gypsy caravan nearby?
There may have been.
On the same evening.
They may have been, yeah.
This has nothing to do with these stories. I'm just making this
up.
Yeah,
I know. Well, you used to live in one, so that's why why that comes to mind.
At a very young age, I actually did, yes.
Yeah, so we're doing well with the theater, and, of course, the dance theater of Apex is up and coming, and we're going to have all kinds of fun with that happening. And
well, just looking at Jackie, that's already happening, and even though it hasn't launched yet, it's already there.
Well, it's there.
Yeah. One of the things we want to do, too, is that we now have dance, theater, music, independent film and visual arts section. So we don't have enough horsepower in each one to do a season, but we've got enough to do an arts season. So the plan is to try to arrange to do some sort of major event from one of those disciplines every month.
That's wonderful. That's a great idea.
So you'll be able to, you know, get all the culture you want.
The Apex Arts Council is about to go on the map.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I've been trying for 10 years to get this thing up and running, and it's finally coming together.
Well, I want to swing back to Jackie here. Jackie, we've listened to you bringing the dance company and all that. Give us some of your own background and maybe some of your more interesting experiences as well, if you'd like.
Well, first of all, we're so excited about the Arts Council. For me to be involved in something like this is a dream come true, really is. So thank you, Bob.
Me too.
This is just great. I can't wait to get an art season started. It's so exciting to be able to work with all these different artists and see what a small community we have. Pepper, who runs London Salt Productions.
He's actually supposed to be here today, but he couldn't make it, so we're considering Pepper's ghost in his stead.
Yes, he's here in his spirit.
Yes.
But we actually ran into each other. We had been talking about each other, both through Bob Crowley, but had never met. And then we bumped into each other where he is the Chick-fil-A cow.
That's right, he works there.
We met at the window, and he said, Jackie, and I said, Pepper, and we met there.
How was it he recognized you?
Well, he didn't. I was talking about opening up the dance school.
Oh, I see.
And he said, oh, that's interesting. And then he said, oh, you must be Jackie. And I said, oh, you must be Pepper.
You must be Sherlock.
Yes, and we were sitting at the drive-thru window, and everyone at lunchtime was furious behind us, and that's the way it was. But it's just so interesting and so lovely to see just the combination of arts coming together in a small community.
Yes, it is.
I think that in these small communities, this is where arts is important because we find the arts in bigger cities. But when you look at the outskirt towns, it kind of fades away. A lot of times we don't have thick cultural communities out in our small towns.
And the big cities tend to make it a lot more politicized.
They do. And we've had people call ballet for elitists and, you know, it's not for major communities or small towns. And that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Dance is an art form. It's a language. It's a way to express yourself. And it's important to our community. And so to fund that and be able to do that in a small town is so important, and be able to reach out to our youth and not only give them shows to come and watch, but give them good training, not just what we like to call quote unquote Dolly Dinkle studios where they're not really learning, they're just there for fun. But these children actually get nourishment in the arts, and it's so important to keep these arts alive.
And they're not just learning dance, they're learning ballet, which is the ultimate thing to have in your arsenal.
I mean, ballet is the fundamental of all forms of dance. It's ballet. You can't do anything without ballet.
With ballet, you can even make a regular movement seem like dance.
That's right. One of my mentors was Duncan Noble. He danced with Ballet Russe back in the 30s. He's passed away now, but he was my mentor at North Carolina School of the Arts, where I graduated from, and he used to say that dancing is just a fancy way of walking from one end of the room to
the
other.
Very true, yeah. My friend Marcel Marceau said the same thing. You know, any movement can be conveyed in dance or to speak for itself so that you don't need words to describe what you've just done.
And it's a universal language.
It is.
It really is. So we're excited to be able to bring that to the community and be involved in the other arts as well. There's nothing that I love more than combining my different forms of arts. I love to have photography and art and movies and art and, you know, just everything.
And miscellany, yes. I like
just
that as well.
Grab them all together and throw some dance in there and throw this in there and throw a little bit of that in there. And
now, you were born in the Bahamas.
Yes.
That's another spicy element to add to this whole repertoire.
Talking about a melting pot.
Yes.
Yeah, a great way to bring that in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Bahamian, supposedly.
I'm Bohemian.
Great. So at this point, apparently I hold triple citizenship, which is completely illegal, which I'm now broadcasting.
What are the three?
My mother's Canadian.
All right.
So by birthright, I'm Canadian, and my father is American, and I was born in the Bahamas. When you're 18, they're supposed to give you a choice of which citizenship to choose, and some countries do allow you to dual citizenship, and some countries say no. None of the countries came to me and asked me which one I wanted. So technically, I'm all three, but I don't know if that would hold up in court or not.
Well, I'm a legal alien. I've been here for, God knows, since 1969, off and on, in and out of the States.
Did you say legal or
illegal? A legal alien.
I'm
a permanent resident. I can be a citizen tomorrow, but I want to keep my German health insurance, so to speak, meaning all I got to do is get on a plane and Germany will take care of me and won't cost me a dime. I would have to give that up if I became an American citizen, so I'm holding on to that, the German medical system.
Well, we just caught you.
Yes, you did. Here I am.
Well,
'tis I.
My mother's the same way. She's still Canadian. She's been in the country for 35 years. Pays all her taxes, just to let everyone know. But she is
Me
Canadian.
Too.
She is Canadian, and that way, if needed, she could definitely go back to Canada and get her health benefits,
right.
which
is not something you want to drop.
Right.
I mean, over here, you'll lose house and
right
home.
Right now.
Jacqueline, I'd like to ask you something. Who are some of your favorite dancers?
Zakharova. Svetlana, which is Russian, and it's hard to say, Zakharova. She's the best in the world, according to me, right now.
Not familiar with her name.
She's Russian. Mm-hmm. She dances with the Mariinsky Theater.
Ah.
Just legs for days. And she's a beautiful artist. So many times now, we find that ballet has gotten so technical that it's almost like rhythmic gymnastics. And they actually pair the two a lot together these days. And it's not because rhythmic gymnastics is getting any more artistic. It's because ballet is getting more technical, which is not a bad thing. Progression of any form in anything is inevitable. We can't help it. Anything is going to progress. We look at it like technology.
Yeah. Are you comfortable with what you're seeing?
I am, to an extent. But for some reason, Zakharova has been able to combine both. She's the heart of what ballet should be. But she's also technically based. I would consider her the best dancer in the world. She makes it look effortless, just really, which is the job of a ballet dancer. You know, we always joke that if ballet was easy, it would be football.
Oh my God, it's not. I know that. I've known many a ballerina, and I know there's nothing easy about it.
That's true. But we love it, and we don't pride ourselves on saying that it's a hard job. We do it because we love it. You know, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's true.
So we do love it. But also, Elena Kachakaru. These names just blow me out of the water. I love the dancing.
Glad you remember.
She dances with, formerly she was the prima ballerina with the Royal Ballet. And she's just left now, up in a big pile of smoke. I guess there was all kinds of rigmarole with her leaving. But she left and went to English National, which is, of course, the rival of Royal Ballet. It's the other big ballet company in England. So she left and went there.
Well, years ago, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, when you heard about ballet dancers, you were always hearing about the Bolshoi ballet in Russia or the Soviet Union.
Yes, and that's where Zakharova dances.
That's what I was wondering.
They know how to make ballerinas. Yes, they do.
Well, on that note, let's have something musical we can dance to.
Little musical.
Little music. Yeah. Catch our breath, and we'll come right back with Caitlin Kidwell.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Thank you. Look around you. 1 in 4 kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Now back to Claudio.
And here we are once again. Caitlin, I want to ask you, especially at this wonderfully young age, what it's like to fly the coop. And I mean, you're going all the way from here to Indiana, and just anything you might want to impart to anyone your age going through similar things.
Oh yeah, it's really fun.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there we go. All right, before I went to college, I had not been away from home more than a week, but I didn't get homesick in the way that you would expect. I have friends who live an hour away from school who get more homesick than I do, but I think that when you are an actor, you go where the program is, and you really have to jump in and kind of
you realize the world
that,
is your stage.
Yeah, you kind of accept that you have to go far away sometimes. And I know that I have a lot of places I want to live, and I guess if my biggest advice to anyone who is either leaving or who is in general wanting to be an actor, especially at a young age, is do just possibilities are everywhere, and I think that you really have to be open to opportunities and don't cap your dreams. Don't I'm an eternal optimist.
Good.
And yeah, rose-colored lenses. And I think that anything's possible. I really do. I really, really do.
And that's the attitude with which you have to fly that way.
Because the people who are succeeding are the people who believe they can. If you are negative about it, it's not going
to
happen.
And it's very, very important in this life to protect your joy.
Oh, yeah.
We take that for granted. But,
I feel like you have to, especially being an actor young age, you need to be able to find your center, find something that makes you happy, because sometimes it's a hard world to live in, and you have to be able to come back to it. I meditate, I do yoga. There's always things to kind of go along with this
good.
Beautiful
and a sense
world.
Of humor always helps, too.
Yeah, of course.
That'll get you through.
You got to keep one. You got to keep one. That's something I learned from Robin Williams. That broke my heart. But
yeah, definitely. And today's show, of course, is dedicated to Robin Williams for anybody just tuning in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and that was Caitlin Kidwell catching us up. Thank you for being on the show, Caitlin.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to go back over to Jackie. You mentioned some interesting things about that king fella.
Yes, we were just talking about Louis XIV.
Yes.
Who actually started dance in general, ballet in particular. So he...
What century was this?
Oh, jeez.
Moons ago. Don't worry about it. This is not a history lesson.
15?
I was thinking 14, 15, somewhere around there.
Yeah, around 15th
Bob
century.
Will know. I'm going to our...
Early 16th, late 15th century.
And this is when we turned from monkeys into dancers?
Well, we've been dancing for a long time.
Yes,
dance is one of the oldest arts forms that... I mean, the cavemen danced before they probably could talk, but...
Now we know what some of those scratches on the walls are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But this was way back, even in the time of, like, Elizabeth I and Henry VIII and like that, around that same time, this guy was king of France, and he liked to dance, apparently, huh?
Cheating, Jackie. You're letting a historian speak for you.
Well, I'm glad he's here.
Yes.
He's helping me.
Yes, indeed.
But Louis XIV really took court dancing to the stage. That was his big move and his big influence in changing over from just making opera into something a little more formal and introducing dance into it. Operas used to last 4 and 5 hours.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we didn't have TV or iPhones.
They still range about 3.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do, absolutely. A lot of them have eliminated some of the ballet from them just because it makes them so lengthy. Louis XIV actually was the one to incorporate ballet or dance in particular into the operas. And he would have some ballet dancing, usually during the overture, which for most people, they think the overture is something that you sit and listen to. And actually, for anyone who is familiar with the history of it, the overture was actually what was used to bring people in. It was something that you walked into the theater to and you were listening to as you were being
almost like the flickering of the lights.
Exactly. And they would sometimes have some of the ballet dancers out in front doing some tricks or a little bit of dancing, a little bit of group dancing. Usually the curtain was down, so it would have been in front, that kind of thing. And then he would have not so much an intermission, but kind of an all-inclusive part of the opera would be just given straight to the ballet company. And that was kind of how the ballet companies started.
He was kind of like you. He liked the miscellany.
And that's right. That's right. Absolutely. See,
I got to use that word twice on my show today. Miscellany. I love it. Three times now.
That's fantastic. But he loved to incorporate, obviously both forms of the art, and it kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The women started to complain, however, because they were dancing in heels. Back then, even the men wore little heels, which we think is ridiculous these days, but they wore little heels. So they started saying, can we dance in flat shoes? And once people started to be able to dance in flat shoes and take off their court shoes, that's when dancing really started, because the intricate movements were more available. They were more readily able to do tricks with one leg. Turning became easier because they could land properly. So that's when the vocabulary for ballet really started. And that's why ballet is written in French. A lot of people say, well, isn't ballet Italian or Russian? Well, it's written in French because
some people have the impression that it's pretentious, but it's not.
That's right. It's written in French because of Louis XIV.
And then, of course, they put the heels back under to create tap dancing.
That's right.
They just couldn't do without those heels.
And here's the irony of it. They took the heels off of the shoes because the women were complaining that their feet hurt. And then Marie Taglioni put us back into point shoes, and now our feet are bleeding through the top of our shoes.
Ouch. The crunching of the toes.
Yes, I know.
We've got about 2 minutes before we got to wrap, so I'd like you to give out all points of contact to the listening audience so they can get in touch with you or find out more about you. Of course, it's through the Apex Arts Council, but you and Bob go ahead and say whatever you want to say to wrap this.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
Got him. Good.
I'd love to put him on
good
the
one.
Spot.
You chicken. Well, I would like to mention, though, one thing. One of the standard lines, don't forget Ginger Rogers, because she did it all in backwards and in heels. So that's important to remember.
Yeah.
But, Apex Arts Council, we're excited. We've got all kinds of programs coming up. We've got theatrical group. We've got our Terpsichorean group here, the dance. You mentioned opera. Well, who wants to start the Apex Opera Society? I'd be very interested in doing that next or along with some other programs. So anybody who's interested in doing that, please come to me and let me know. If you want to get to us, you go to the website, www.apexartscouncil.org, and come on over and we'd love to see you. You'll find the whole season schedule will be on there, and if you're interested in movies and music, there's some reviews by our old friend Claudio on there.
Indeed, and there should be some more coming up. I've been a little pen lazy as far as getting you more materials. Anyway, so with that, I would like to thank everybody for being here on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Caitlin Kidwell, Jacqueline Rafferty.
Thank you.
Bob Crowley.
Yep.
Renee sitting here quietly. She was the pantomime for the show. And, of course, Rocco, who just celebrated his 500th show. And, of course, our show is being dedicated to the late, great Robin Williams. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater signing off. Thank you for tuning us in. Cheers.